Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line, we welcome you to hour number 3, bright and early on this Monday morning, all across the Sports Grid Network. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. One final hour to go to set the stage for the Monday night football finale tonight in the store. Maybe not the game or the teams we expected at this stage of the season to end out the fifth to final week of the regular season between the Cowboys and the Bengals. But Donnie's building the optimism. We're seeing some offense, some points, and some prop production tonight on this Monday. We'll hear from the people in just a moment. We'll hear the prop perspective from Tom Vecchio a little bit later on. Injury insight from the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow. And Donnie, we got to dive back in. The Juan Soto sweepstakes now over the New York Mets. The big winners with a big payday that is due. 15 years, $765 million for Juan Soto joining the Amazons.
Sometimes you look at the money and it is so outrageous, but when did we get to contracts at 15 plus years? Like, this doesn't even make any sense financially, except you're a guy that has so much money, it just doesn't matter anymore. Like, Juan Soto is going to be 40 plus years old when this ends here, maybe just hanging around like Albert Pujols, but making, I guess it would be a bargain, $50+ million a year when everybody's going to make in $70 million a year in 16 years. It's one thing where we look at the Major League Baseball and it is flawed, but like, Ben, you're a Dodgers fan. We don't want a salary cap. I'm a Phillies fan. I really don't want a salary cap because you have an ownership group that's willing to spend over and get the best players. But for the goodness of the league, it's not really good that the price point is here, because what happens next, Ben, with the next big free agent? Are we right up in this range? Because, oh, Otani's that outlier here. Otani's not an outlier anymore. Like, other guys are going to be making this money, which is a shame, where you're looking now at Aaron Judge and the Bryce Harpers and like, boy, I wish we were in another sport where I can just hold out and renegotiate and get my $700 million contract.
I think other players from other sports wishing they were in another sport and playing Major League Baseball, Tyler maybe Murray. Not taking hits. One of the best things I saw yesterday was Darren McFadden, former Arkansas great running back, of course, played in the NFL for numerous years, saying that when he was younger, he wished he learned how to hit a bat and not hit the hole. And who could disagree with Darren McFadden in that spot? We'll talk more about Juan Soto, what the money means, what it all means for the Mets moving forward into 2025 and beyond. But DRS, let's go to Monday Night Football. Again, we have the Bengals as a 5.5-point road favorite at the Star in Dallas. Total 49.5. So now time to hear from the people. What's the best bet for Monday night? We all learn together and fade the public. What's the best bet for Monday Night Football at Sports Grid on Twitter? The Bengals laying 5.5. The Cowboys as the home underdog looking for win in cover number 2 at home this year in the greater Fort Worth area. Over 49.5 or under that number. DRS, it's really close. The people thinking it's the Bengals and the over. I see it live right now. 35.1% on Cincy, laying 5.5. 35.5%. So just edging out by 0.4 percentage points, that would be the over, expecting some offense tonight at over 49.5. Is Donnie Wrightside fitting the public?
Look, I am fading the public in one direction. I won't fade them on the over, but that you only get one vote. You can't vote multiple times. Like, what's your best side? What's your best total? So I agree. The over 49.5 does have the juice at 35.5% because you're looking at two teams going nowhere in a dome. Like, we're not punting on fourth and one anywhere on the football field, it feels like, which is great news for the over. And also, if you want to continue those drives and up the ante here with some of those prop bets that you might have. But for me, I did take the Cowboys at 5.5. And quite frankly, I don't think they're the better football team. But I just look at it and say, the Bengals can't stop anybody anywhere at any time. Why should they be laying more than a field goal, not even at home, but on the road? Yes, I understand the metrics that go into the football game that shows the Dallas Cowboys usually get slaughtered at home. I understand that. But no way, shape, or form, this Bengals team that should win this football game, I can't see them, Ben, winning going away. And also, let's just say the Bengals are up, I don't know, 10 with 1.5 minutes to go. That defense isn't making any stops here against the Dallas Cowboys. You'll be able to plow down the field and hopefully get a touchdown, at least a field goal to still keep you in the loop at that point. That's my angle on this game. I like the prop bets way more, and we'll have a lot of fun with those today. But I just can't trust the Bengals by roughly a touchdown on the road with that defense. I can't buy it.
And so here we are, right? The Bengals away from Cincinnati this year, so much better. Cowboys haven't been great anywhere, but better earlier in the year away from the star as well. Since he is 5-1 against the spread on the road this season, a perfect 3-0 ATS as an away favorite. But those three victories and covers on the road in Carolina, winning by double digits in the Meadowlands or at East Rutherford inside MetLife against the Giants as a road favorite, beating the Browns by a touchdown as a road favorite as well. Very different teams in that time. Maybe you're saying, hey, listen, I know Dallas has won twice in a row with Cooper Rush, but it's still the Cowboys and Cooper Rush. The Bengals are the better side. I just don't know how much belief the Bengals would admit they have left into actually trying to win football games and hammering the opposition. And I'm not sure the defense, if we see the Cowboys offense play the way it has the last 2 weeks, can even hold up enough for the Bengals to win this game comfortably. Yeah. I think since he probably wins outright, I would lean with 5.5 points with the Cowboys. But again, DRS, in the Fade the Public poll, I agree with the public. I think we can expect some points tonight. And of course, that starts at the quarterback spot. Joe Burrow, 270.5 is his number. At the end of 13 weeks, he was the NFL's leading passer. Would be putting up MVP numbers if his team wasn't 4-8 and rather 8-4. Cooper Rush, though, on the other side, has started to find his footing. At least they're allowing him to air the football out because the Cowboys are still having a difficult time establishing the run. 230.5, the number for Cooper Rush.
Yeah, no, and again, you're expecting, let's just say, the favorite side for Joe Burrow to be leading, which could lead to extra yardage for Rush, but it's not like extra yardage against, let's just say, the Philadelphia Eagles defense or the Buffalo Bills or the San Francisco 49ers, and teams that have played, you know, decent defense in the past. You're going up against a team that you should be able to shred when they're in a prevent defense to end the game. So I look at both of those numbers and think they're capable, and just getting back to the original point, just don't try to outsmart yourself. Like, you're in a dome with two defenses that can be had, particularly two great wideouts on one side with a great quarterback of Cincinnati, and then just a product by default, a really bad defense. You have some upgraded wide receiver positions because we always talk about CeeDee Lamb, but Brandon Cooks coming back had 7 targets last week. What is a big game for him? No, but working his way back in just to give you something else outside of Tolbert on the outside will be massive for Cooper Rush's game. And Rico Dowdle, he should have room to run tonight, which helps the passing game and the play action passing game for the Dallas Cowboys. And also, again, two bad football teams. We're not punting. We're throwing the kitchen sink out here and having some fun tonight, which is why that total is posted around 50 points. We should be getting some points tonight in this game and some yards.
Both teams bottom 10 in scoring defense. Both teams bottom 10 in rushing defense. I mentioned the Cowboys have struggled to establish the run. Not exactly the last 2 weeks in their two wins. Rico Dowdle on the come up, 19 carries, 86 yards in the upset in Landover against the Commanders. 22 carries for a 112 on the ground and a score last week on Thanksgiving against the New York Giants, who have had a difficult time containing the run this year. Chase Brown, a touchdown last week. You see the number, -180 to hit Pater. And DRS, as we go back just to the quarterbacks very briefly here, interested to see the attempt props tonight for both of our QBs. For Joe Burrow, 36.5. Same exact number for Cooper Rush, who has thrown the ball 55 times, 32 times, 36 times in the last three for the Cowboys, all three games trending to the over for Dallas.
Yeah, and also I haven't taken a look at some of the defensive props, Ben. Usually it's not like interception props I like, but tonight there are some really good pass rushers. If we're dropping back that many times with susceptible offensive lines, you're going to get some sacks. Micah Parsons, maybe pair him up with Hendrickson on the opposite side. You could do some damage. Odighizuwa and the boys on the front line getting pressure. Let's go.
Plenty more prop perspective later. The injury analysis for the Pro Football Doc next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, it is a Monday morning. Looking back on the Sunday slate from the injury perspective, now with the injury analysis and insight from the Pro Football Doc, Dr. David Chow. As always, Dr. Chow, thank you for joining us here on this Monday. Hope you had a great football weekend.
Oh, it was an interesting weekend, fun weekend, yes.
Yes, it certainly was. Week 14 Sunday slate, some of the injuries that we saw yesterday, Dr. Chow. We are reaching the point of this season. Just 4 weeks remain after the Monday Night Football finale tonight, where those injuries can be important for teams in contention. We start at the quarterback position for two teams that are probably not going to flirt with the playoffs, but still some important injuries. Dr. Chow, late in the game yesterday at MetLife, Derek Carr of the Saints trying to take off, dive for a first down, goes up in the air as he is coming down on the turf. He lands on his left non-throwing hand. The Saints did say they fear it is a fracture to that left hand. From video, what did you see? What do you think is the prognosis for Carr in the remainder of his season?
Well, he had a head check as well, but the concern is his hand slash wrist. And by video in-game, we put out that there was worry for a scaphoid fracture at the base of the hand. That would mean surgery and casting. I get it. It's his non-throwing hand. I've gotten a lot of questions of, so what? Why can't he play with it? Well, you got to, even if after surgery, you have to have a cast or something on. And what about ball handling and handoffs and ball security? So it's not that simple. The Saints are still mathematically in it with their victory, but it's going to look like it's not going to be Derek Carr.
Doc, a team that's mathematically out at this point here, the Oakland Raiders. Aiden O'Connell left on a cart yesterday. The prognosis for the quarterbacks overall for the Raiders is bad, and they're getting injured. Talk to us about Aiden O'Connell and what he has here.
Well, yeah, when it rains, it pours, right? They had two quarterbacks, now they have none. Yeah. Well, they added Desmond Ridder, Gardner Minshew out with a broken collarbone, and now the way Aiden O'Connell landed, there's worry for a patella injury and the likelihood he sees going to be out. At this point, you know, maybe they're better off just playing for the first pick. I feel bad for my guy, Norv Turner and Scott there trying to run that offense in the last few weeks here when they got added there. They're down to another quarterback.
Nine straight losses for the Las Vegas Raiders at this point of the season. Dr. Chow, the story of the year for the San Francisco 49ers, the long litany of injuries at the running back spot entering week 14. Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason placed on IR. The 49ers snap a three-game slide yesterday, and Isaac Garendo early was a huge factor in the offensive output, two rushing scores. But we did see on the game broadcast Garendo walking to the locker room alongside medical staff and personnel. What exactly can we make, Dr. Chow, of Isaac Garendo's status for San Francisco?
Well, at some point, right, you have to think maybe Kyle Shanahan and his run game scheme are really pretty good. It's kind of just add water, next man up, and they're successful, right? And Garendo went out here. There wasn't clear video. It was in a pile. The worry for a foot sprain is a Lisfranc sprain or what have you, and that's not good for a running back that has to cut in a speedster there. So I'll be curious to see who the next man up is for San Francisco. Obviously, they played pretty well. They're getting some defensive help. Josh Uponga's back. Dre Greenlaw said to be close. Nick Bosa is around the corner. So maybe they can right the ship for one last NFC West run.
Doc, the dreaded non-contact injury, which we saw from Jonathan Brooks of the Carolina Panthers yesterday, looks to be a knee injury. He came into the season banged up. Now it looks like he's going to leave the season banged up, Doc.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons we faded him throughout the fantasy football draft process, downgrading him. We even took under 4.5 touchdowns on the season since there was no yardage props on Jonathan Brooks. It's just hard to recover from an ACL and jump a level of play. He just got back a couple of weeks ago, hasn't done a lot, and now it's the same right knee. Now, the video is not clear that it's an ACL re-tear. Let's hope that it's not, but it is the same right knee. So not good news for the Panthers and Jonathan Brooks.
Quickly, Dr. Jallet, stay in the NFC South, go to the other side of the football. Tampa has been trying to bounce back from injuries, and they have 3-game win streak now atop the NFC South standings. But one of their young defensive stars, Antoine Winfield Jr., did get a little bit banged up yesterday for the Bucs. Were you and the team at SICScore.com, Sports Injury Central, able to see anything there for the result and Antoine Winfield Jr.?
Well, that's going to be part of our Monday review. So go to the new revamped website, SICScore.com, to check it out. We're always go back and look at video here. And now it's the first place Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC South.
Doc, let's take a look at the game tonight. And also, I am on SICScore.com right now, the game views tab. Bengals and the Cowboys tonight. Looks like the Cincinnati Bengals slightly healthier than the Dallas Cowboys. But I want to talk to you about the Dallas Cowboys offensive line coming in tonight against Cincinnati. How does it look?
Well, other than Zach Martin, they've gotten healthier. They've gotten some help there. And it's the Cowboys secondary that's the question. And how much does all the, quote, support for Mike McCarthy play into motivation and this game? Hopefully it'll be an exciting game. You know, Bengals are always involved in high-scoring matchups, and so we'll see.
Yeah, that total at 49.5 as we flip it over. Dr. Chow, you see the field view with Cincinnati on offense. How do the Bengals stand entering tonight at the Star?
Well, the Bengals have offensive line issues, you know, at the tackles. And, you know, Micah Parsons is back. And so let's see what kind of havoc he can wreak there.
And we would expect a lot of quarterbacks dropping back. Quickly, Dr. Chow, speaking of quarterbacks, Georgia's Carson Beck injured on Saturday in the SEC championship game. Do you expect him to be back for the college football playoff run for the Dogs?
Only because they seem to have a 1A, 1B situation. I'm not sure that he'll be back. Obviously, he finished the game, handed the ball off for the touchdown in overtime. I was at a friend's house. He literally flies a Texas flag and is a diehard Texas fan, went to Texas. And I was screaming at the TV, run blitz. There's no way Carson Beck is going to throw the football here. And they didn't. They ran the ball and scored.
You hear that? Pete Kwiatkowski hired Dr. Defensive staff. Dr. Chow, thank you. More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A brief break from football on this Monday to detail a very quick in very hot stove in Major League Baseball as it pertains to the Juan Soto sweepstakes. The biggest acquisition of the winter has made his new home known. Juan Soto signing last night with the New York Mets for a 15-year, $765 million deal that with escalators in the contract, ERS, could be north of $800 million. It is by far, in a way, the richest and most expensive contract in the history of North American professional sports. It is what Juan Soto has signed. It is what Steve Cohen has offered and has the financial backing to do. After a season in the Bronx, Soto stays in New York, but heads up to Queens to play for the New York Mets. What was your reaction when you saw this news last night or perhaps this morning when the early alarm went off?
DeSoto is a absolute mercenary out here on yet another baseball team and is only 26 years old, just going to the highest bidder, buying his time, and playing it perfectly to get the free agency, which he did. Never once did he show any love to the New York City fan base for the Yankees here, and now showing the love to the Mets, not because he wants to go and play in Flushing, Queens at Citi Field. It's because he wants to play for the biggest paycheck possible, which now he gets. And he's going to land there with a lot of expectations, and rightfully so, with how good he's been. But if you are a Mets fan and you are the ownership group, you probably hope, Ben, this isn't actually a 15-year deal. It's a 5-year deal, because you know what that means? He's been absolutely red hot for 5 years, giving you the best baseball he can give you, then opts out to go free agency, which you can then opt back in and say, okay, well, we'll get back into the bidding at this point. What you can have is injury riddled, low performance. At the end of 5 years, he goes, I think I'll stay for the extra 10 and $500+ million that you guys still owe me. So it sounds crazy to say you hope it's only a 5-year deal, but that means great things for Mets fans and Mets backers, which means you got the best of Soto, and he thinks he can get even more money after that, which then you can make the decision. You just hope this doesn't turn out to be an albatross, which they always do. But you're playing for the performance while he's in his late 20s and his early 30s, not for the back end. That's just the tax you pay as a ball club to actually sign these big name free agents, knowing you're going to probably give them $300 million worth of empty seasons just to get those first 5, 6, 7 years.
In DRS, that is such a good point. It's one of the other wrinkles of what looks to be and is a monumental contract, not just financially, but from the term length of it as well. 15 years, Juan Soto would be 41 in his 22nd Major League Baseball season. That's also part of the craziness for Juan Soto. We'll detail what he has done throughout his already young Major League Baseball career that has already been 7 seasons long. In DRS, it's not like this guy was a lifelong Yankee that then made the move to Queens. He played 1 season in the Bronx. After 2 seasons in San Diego, this will be the New York Mets, his 4th team in the last 4 years. San Diego in 2022 and 2023 after being dealt from Washington, and then he signed with the Yanks this past offseason. So he has followed the money, in credit to him. If you could make nearly $1 billion, you would do the absolute same. Now to what Juan Soto represents on the baseball field and for the outlook of the New York Mets. He has already played 7 seasons in MLB. He is currently 26 years old. He turned 26 during the Yankees playoff run this past October. More than 200 home runs. He has been an all-star each of the past 4 seasons. Won a World Series with the Nats back in 2019. And Donnie, perennially, annually, it feels like he leads Major League Baseball, or is at least top 3, top 5 in terms of drawing walks at the dish. He is one of the hardest, if not the hardest, bats to get out in all of the bigs.
He certainly is, and he is worth what you're going to pay for him, and a lot of teams were absolutely in on the bidding process. But sometimes you take a look now at the Yankees, who gave up Michael King, one of the good young pitchers in Major League Baseball, in that trade to get him for 1 year of rental. But also, if you are a Yankees fan, man, we should have re-signed Soto. We know that. But if you still have deep pockets here, that's the equivalent of $250 million contracts that you can spread out over your team. Now, we're not talking about, hey, picked up a guy for $5 million and $6 million. You're talking about 3 massive contracts in Major League Baseball lingo that you can now flip over if you were willing to pay in excess of $700 million to get the guy. So Yankees fans upset. You better spend the money somewhere else. You just hope if you're a Mets backer, injuries don't creep up, because that'd be an unbelievable albatross for the Mets.
Yeah, absolutely so. Proper perspective next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The prop perspective on a Monday for the Monday Night Football finale to week number 14. That's with TV Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid, live right here on this Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. Okay, we've had some issue with the structure of these segments the last few times.
Just say hello, Tom. Just say hello.
Hold on. Here's how I'm going to do it, right? Here's the structure. here is the structure, right? Tom, I'm going to mention something about some network and company camaraderie. You are going to respond. I am going to ask you about the game. You are going to respond. Give your insight. Donnie then will skip over the totals and ask about the quarterbacks. Bing, bang, boom. So Vecchio, as we follow in order, tomorrow, despite working together for the better part of 3.5 years in various capacities here on the Spiz Grizz Network, it's the Sports Grid holiday party, and we finally get to meet in person. I'm incredibly excited.
I am very excited as well. Like you said, 3.5 years, we're dating back to June or July of 2021. The first few times we did a show, talking about baseball, talking about home runs. I specifically remember talking about some Red Sox going up against the Blue Jays pitcher. I'd have to double back and check on that. But it's been a long 3 years. I'm ready to roll for tonight.
Heck yeah, Vecchio. Heck yeah. We love that. We've already decided on a firm bro hug on our initial meeting in person. Now let's get to Monday Night Football in Dallas. The Bengals, a 5.5-point favorite against the Cowboys on the road, total at 49.5. Vecchio, we started talking about this game, Donnie and I, in our breakdown. How much would motivation play a part? Can you really cap motivation as a part of this game? The Bengals are not eliminated, nor are the Cowboys from playoff contention. But since he is now 4-8, and the Cowboys with the backup in Cooper Rush are 5-7, despite two consecutive wins. You see the numbers. The Bengals are a pretty heavy road favorite. High total. What do you think the numbers dictate in terms of how this game plays out tonight?
For tonight, I'm expecting points, right? Like you said, they're both not mathematically eliminated, but we all know that they're on the outside looking in at this point. So let's get out there and score some points. And that's kind of what we have seen from the Bengals. You know, one of the stats for them this year is they're 0-4 in games where they score 30-plus points. And their offense has never been the problem. Like Joe Burrow has never been the issue for the Bengals. It's really their offensive line and their defense. And, you know, admittedly, like Cooper Rush has been kind of solid over the past few weeks for the Cowboys, right? So let's get out there. Let's score some points. Both defenses are struggling. We can't take what the Cowboys defense did last week against Drew Lock. This is a completely different offense compared to what the Giants brought. So I think we're going to see some scoring tonight. Like, there's no reason for them not to push the ball, not to take an extra fourth down try. Because again, they are eliminated. Like, let's just call it what it is. They're eliminated. Let's score some points. Let's get some yards. Let's get some scoring. And we'll be in a good spot for some props tonight.
Exactly. Let's take a look at the quarterback position here. Cooper Rush and Joe Burrow tonight. Joe Burrow leads the way here, 270.5 as his passing prop, followed up by Cooper Rush at 230.5 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Touchdown props to throw, each over 1.5, but juiced differently. Cooper Rush plus 136 to throw to. Joe Burrow minus 184. Which side are we lining up here between Rush and Burrow, or both?
I think you look to props for both. You know, I actually don't mind Cooper Rush for passing over 1.5 because, again, you know, we're looking at a team total that's sitting at 21.5 for the Cowboys and a game total that's sitting at 49. Let's call it 50. Like, we're expecting some points tonight. So Cooper Rush getting some action through the air is what I'm certainly expecting. Then for Burrow, I think his yards are fine. Realistically, I think you could ult him up to, you know, 300 plus. I don't think it's out of the question tonight. But specifically for Burrow, I like, or really like, over 36.5 passing attempts. He's been over this mark in 5 straight. Two of these games, he's up at 50 plus, 56. The Bengals come in with the fourth highest pass play percentage, sitting at 64.32. They throw the ball. Like, Chase Brown is good in the backfield, but he's not great, and he's not the path to the Bengals winning. The path to the Bengals winning is Joe Burrow having 300 yards and at least 2 touchdowns.
Over 1.5 passing touchdowns for Burrow, juiced at minus 184. Yeah. Why? He has had 4 consecutive games with at least 3 passing touchdowns. To hit 3 plus tonight, a sprinkle of plus money at plus 220. From the quarterbacks to the running backs, Vecchio, you mentioned Chase Brown. His production has been there, but just a part of the offense overall for Cincinnati. The Cowboys had struggled to run the football all season long, except for the last 2 weeks in their 2 consecutive wins. Rico Dowdle, 86 yards against the Commanders. Last week on Thanksgiving against the Giants, 112 yards and a score. Will Rico Dowdle continue that production for Dallas tonight?
I think he'll be good, but not great. And, you know, like you said, we're going up against the Giants and the Commanders of the past 2 weeks for him. Like, we have to take that with a bit of a grain of salt. And, you know, at face value, the Bengals' rush defense doesn't look great. But if you actually break it down by position, the rushing yards that they actually allowed, they've allowed 1,094 rushing yards specifically to running backs. That's actually the eighth fewest in the league. There's a lot of rushing yards that they allowed to opposing quarterbacks. So if you just look at their rushing yards per game, it actually doesn't tell the whole story. So I think Rico Dowdle is absolutely taking control of the backfield. We don't have to worry about Zeke. We don't have to worry about Deuce Vaughn. But I actually like him under 68.5 rushing yards because the Bengals' rush defense is actually a little bit better than people realize. I'm not saying it's amazing. I'm not saying it's one of the top units in the league. But it is actually better than some people realize. So I actually like the under for Dowdle tonight. And I want to see some more Cowboys receivers get involved. You've got to remember that they activated Brandon Cooks a couple weeks ago. He's back in. Jake Ferguson is back tonight. I think we're going to see some passing tonight.
Yeah, and also some of those backup tight ends did very well for the Dallas Cowboys over the past couple weeks. So there are a lot more pass catchers tonight. And let's get to that environment here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. There's a plethora of wide receivers. Ja'Marr Chase, 80.5 is the lead dog here for Cincinnati. And very rarely do you see this, an 80.5 and also a 70.5 with T. Higgins. So we're expecting passing here. On the opposite side, yes, you talked about guys like Jake Ferguson with CeeDee Lamb at 65.5. So many players across the board here to deal with, Tom. Where are we leaning towards today?
For the Cowboys, I think Jake Ferguson is my route to go. Over 37.5. You know, he's back from the concussion, missed a few games. The Bengals, they allow the seventh most receiving yards to opposing tight ends, sitting up at 783. I think CeeDee Lamb's number is fine. I think going to, you know, Chase, you want to ult them up, get him to 100. Same thing with T. Higgins. I think that's fine. You know, for touchdowns, I think going to CeeDee Lamb is, I think it's a great number. You know, we're getting, again, a 21.5 implied team total for the Cowboys. We're expecting some points. And the same thing with Mike Gesicki at plus 360. I don't want to lay juice with Ja'Marr Chase or Chase Brown. We got so many Chases here. It's not Vinny and drama. Well, I'm going to go to Mike Gesicki at plus 360. This is a play on the number, right? And a play on a game environment that has a 50 over under, essentially. I'm not laying minus 150 for a touchdown. We can get someone at plus 360. And I do like Mike Gesicki's red zone usage. I also like the fact that he hasn't scored in 8 games or so. So he should be in the mix tonight. I think he'd also go to his yards very clearly tonight as well.
So let's look again at those top props just to make sure you have everything jotted down from Tom Vecchio. Joe Burrow over his passing attempts prop. He has gone over this number in 5 straight. Rico Dowdle on the upswing, but maybe cooling down a little bit tonight. Jake Ferguson back in the mix for Dallas. And Mike Gesicki, the tight end for Cincinnati to hit Pater tonight. It does feature a total, Vecchio, of 49 and a hook. But you are the jack of all trades, as we detail each and every time. There is one NBA game tonight. Yeah. The New York Knicks, 6-point road favorite up in the Great White North against the Raptors, who have been a good underdog covering team this year. 231.5 is that total. What's the play between the Knicks and the Raptors?
You know, specifically for the Knicks, I actually like their team total over 121.5. It is a little bit juiced at minus 118. Surprisingly, the Knicks actually lead the league in offensive efficiency. The Raptors are bottom 10, as we would all assume. Like you said, they are pretty good against the spread. But, you know, I like the Knicks, you know, coming off a, let's call it a bad loss against the Pistons, right? Like, this is a spot for them to get back on track. They got, you know, some positive juice with the Mets news. There's some positive vibes in New York City. I also specifically like a little same-game parlay of Karl Anthony Towns at 20-plus points and Grady Dick at 15-plus points. You're getting that at plus 117. Some good back-and-forth scoring. Knicks put up a lot of points tonight, and I do think they come away with the victory, as you would assume.
Listen, quickly here, Vecchio. We're going to need a lot more hockey coverage on this network now. 3 games on the ice tonight. What do you like?
I mean, I can't bet on my Rangers because they look absolutely terrible, but I haven't dug into the slate yet. It's still early in the day.
Okay. Too early? That's fine. I'll see you tomorrow, and we'll see you tonight on the Sports Grid Network as well. More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue our Monday Night Football preview live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. You can catch DRS tonight here on the grid. NFL football in-game live game day alongside Joe Lisi. And you know what's interesting about tonight's game, DRS?
Wow.
Not just for our broadcast here on Sports Grid, but for the actual broadcast, there will be a Simpsons Fun Day component of it. And I hear we're doing the same on In-Game Live tonight between you and Lisey.
Look at the focus that we have between me and Lisa. Both of us hit our best bets yesterday. That's the focus you need tonight to bring to the occasion. So if it goes off the rails a little bit, or the energy isn't high, or maybe you might tune in and not even find us talking football tonight, but the gauntlet is going to be circled tonight. Absolutely.
I've got a two-part follow-up question. Number one, are you a Simpsons guy?
Yeah, yes. Like, do I watch now like I have to see it? No, but growing up and watching it through, like, The Simpsons are on, I'm not turning it off. So, yeah, I'll be a Simpsons guy.
Good. Yep. Number two, do you believe that Joe Lisi has ever seen a single episode of The Simpsons?
Absolutely. Like, look, Lisa's a lot older than even I am at this point. So he was around for the heyday of The Simpsons back in the 90s. So absolutely. He probably even had the Bart Simpson t-shirts back in the late 80s, early 90s. Of course he did.
See, I was really expecting you to say, like, absolutely not. That guy doesn't know anything except 1982 college football. But then you went with the old joke, so it still did hit.
All right,
let's talk Monday night. Let's talk Monday night football and our breakdown of the game. Again, 5.5-point spread in favor of the Bengals. The over-under is lofty, 49.5. The Bengals over in 9 of 12 games this season. The Cowboys over in 3 straight, including their 2 consecutive wins in a row, as they are letting Cooper Rush air it out, and Rico Dowdle has stepped up his game in the last 2 weeks. DRS, you look at the numbers. If you had to go side or total, what would tempt you most?
It'd probably be the total 49.5. And you bring up a pretty good point, because when we like to handicap and measure out games, we like simplicity, Ben. The reason I bring that up is we know who the starting quarterbacks are going to be, barring injury. We also have lead dogs in the backfield on both teams that you're not going to have to get worried about getting, you know, scooped out in every other drive. And I hope this is my drive where I'm in the red zone. Dowdle's going to be in, and we know Brown's going to be in. Then the wide receiver position. You have studs out there. If you go CeeDee Lamb tonight, I doubt he's like, you know what? Let's target everybody else but me. And the same thing with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. You know the key players of this game. 2 defenses that can be had. An environment that's going to be in a dome with an ultra-fast track. So there is sort of that production line that we like to see tonight, where it's not a lot of guesses. Like, like Gesicki at tight end and Ferguson. They should be the leading tight end in this game. Like, I didn't know this guy would come out of nowhere. I love paint-by-numbers type of games, and that's what we're setting up for. So for me, I do think the Dallas Cowboys cover this game, but am I willing to put money on it? Not necessarily. But the total 49.5, the way it pertains to prop bets, that's the way I like to go.
Yeah, DRS, I would agree with you. Like, I do think the Cowboys are probably the right side if I had to look at it right now. I'm not sure how much the Bengals have left in the tank. They've had 3 gut-wrenching, heartbreaking losses in a row that culminated last week at home as a field goal favorite against the Steelers in what was the 3rd or 4th Super Bowl-esque type feel for the Bengals this year, desperately needing to win a game to try to get their season resurrected and back on track. They came up short. And when you look at the Bengals, it has not been the offense that has failed them. It has been a defense that has been unable this year to make a stop in the most significant of moments. So I would lean with the over as well. The only thing, Donnie, the only thing that is holding me back from a Joe Burrow number in the over is the fact that we have shared the Bengals are a better team on the road this year. 5-1 against the number, a perfect 3-0 both straight up and against the spread as, in a way, favorite. And the teams they have beat up on the road have not been great. Carolina, the Giants, and the Browns, I believe even before Jameis Winston did become the starter and things got fun in Cleveland. In those 3 games, the final 2 against the Giants and the Browns, dead unders. And Joe Burrow's passing attempts prop tonight, as Vecchio shared, is 36.5. He has gone over that number with at least 37 attempts, 50 plus in 2 of the last 3 in 5 straight games. But in the 3 road games that the Bengals have been booked as a favorite, 1 and covered this year, Joe Burrow has not thrown for more than 240 yards. He has not attempted more than 30 passes in any of those games. Now, if the odds are correct, and I'm not sure they are, the Bengals should win this game comfortably, still against a bad Cowboys team, then I'm a little bit spooked out by those Joe Burrow numbers. I'm just not sure the numbers actually represent what we are going to see on the field tonight.
Yeah, and also, paint by numbers, right? As I say, you should have a big game by Burrow. You should have a big game by the wide receivers. We get that here. It's a dome and not a great Dallas Cowboys defense, but also, you can have game wreckers on the opposite side. Like, Overshown has been very good, but more importantly, Micah Parsons is finally healthy and starting to eat right now. He should get a sack tonight. You take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. Micah Parsons to get at least a sack, minus 138. Put it this way. If Micah Parsons doesn't get a sack tonight, which means they're protecting Joe Burrow, watch out.
Yeah, absolutely. Can we go back real quick, though? I do want to show it. That. I don't think Donnie's. What is? Yeah, yeah, they're right there. What is? Oh, man. What is this? What is that photo? What is happening?
Hey, football, where are you?
Is he like falling as he's handing something off? And this is against the Patriots, man.
Yeah, this was the first game of the season where he realized, like right there, he's looking into the crystal ball like, damn it, we're going to stink this year, aren't we? Yep, he knew it. You know what I mean? Looks like that football was the crystal ball. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, prop perspective here, DRS. Ton of pass catchers tonight that you could really get down with. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, as you said, wide receivers are still wide receivers, and they're putting up ungodly numbers this year. CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks back, Jake Ferguson back now for the Cowboys as well. What's your best of the prop production tonight?
Look, I never usually scale up, which means like, hey, Chase should have a big game. Higgins could have a big game. Yeah. Same thing with CeeDee Lamb. I usually like to buy a little bit lower. I'm telling you tonight, like I saw yesterday in Sterling Shepard, secondary options with low numbers in a game, you expect your quarterback to have around 250 passing yards. Brandon Cooks has to clear 26 and a half, and seven targets last week when he was just coming back. He gets seven more targets tonight. He obliterates that 26 and a half.
CD had a bad day on Thanksgiving. 12 targets in the two previous prior to Turkey Day. DRS, a big day in store. I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Not on the early line, but at the holiday party. More TDLS.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line, ending out our 3 hours on this Monday on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. A lot of college sports to know now in the month of December. The college football regular season is through. Conference championship weekend, a thing of the past. Selection Sunday, though, for the college football playoff just happened. The first ever 12-team field and bracket in the history of the college football playoff has been revealed. And the great thing about it, we have less than 2 weeks until that first CFP game in the 10-year history of the four-team format. We would have the month wait like the teams that earned the opening round bye do this year. We've got significant college football playoff games coming your way in just a little bit. We'll have you covered here on the Sports Grid Network for sure. Bowl season starts on Saturday, and an annual game on Saturday as well to preview for you in just a moment. But college basketball, what a time it is during our non-conference schedule, or in some spots, conference play already underway. The Big Ten does a fun thing where they play a few conference games before Christmas break, before the new year, to get in all the 20 conference matchups that we see, and now an 18-team league that is the Big Ten. So we saw that this weekend. We saw it continue with some great non-conference matchups, and we continue to see some upsets in the sport. Excuse me, late on Saturday night, as conference championship Saturday, and SMU and Clemson are battling it out in Charlotte, and Penn State and Oregon in Indianapolis, we had a great game, a top 10 tilt in college basketball, where number 4 Kentucky, what a blessed season it is under the Pope. That is Mark Pope leading Kentucky back from an 18-point deficit against Gonzaga to force the extra session and win by a point in OT. Keep an eye on those Cats. 90-89. Kentucky wins outright. Now, with the guidance of my good friend and noted Sports Grid talent, Kevin Walsh, he told me, listen, man, this is Kentucky. You heard me debate Donnie and Mark Zeno, a couple of bums, about where Kentucky stands in the pantheon of college basketball. Again, still a top 3 program, a blue blood in the sport. So I bought into Mark Pope and the Cats, and I bet them at a 35-1 number on the opening night of this college basketball season to win the national championship. That number now down by more than half. Take $20 off. It's 15-1. It's the fifth best price around the country for a Kentucky team that will remain top five and more than likely top three in the updated AP poll that comes out later this afternoon. Love me some Big Blue Nation this year. Great matchup in the state of Wisconsin where the Badgers had been getting the better of the Golden Eagles. Marquette bounces back from a trip to Hilton Coliseum earlier in the week to knock off Wisconsin 88-74 on Saturday. Yesterday, the upset. Second consecutive loss for Kansas this week. They will no longer be the number one team in the nation when that AP Top 25 does come out in just a few hours. They got beat in Omaha by Creighton earlier in the week. They get beat by Missouri on the road in Columbia. Credit to Bill Self. Playing these true road games on the road this time of year, just going to cost the Jayhawks that number one spot atop the AP poll. Missouri, though, Dennis Gates coming over from Cleveland State. This team's playing some good basketball. They had some expectation last year in the SEC, wildly floundered, incredibly disappointing. This year, an 8-1 basketball team that just pulled off the upset of number one yesterday. Tamar Bates, the Indiana transfer, has been sensational. UCLA beats Oregon in a Big Ten game over the weekend as well. Purdue bounces back for the loss in Happy Valley to beat Maryland at home. Duke and Louisville, early ACC action. Duke continues a good week, a win over Auburn and a win over the Cards. And one of the great things about college football, even in this changing landscape and its climate, is we still have those rivalries and the passionate traditions in college that we love, like the Army-Navy game on Saturday. And there was a time where we thought, hey, this could have been the American championship between the Mids and the Black Knights. By the way, Army won that with an upset at home, winning outright as a 5.5-point dog against Tulane on Friday night at Mitchie Stadium. I really hope you listened to me say Bryson Daly plus 220, multiple rushing scores. He had four. We needed just two. What a win that was. And for the first time since, I believe, 2017, I'll check that, this game between Army and Navy will decide the Commander-in-Chief's trophy, the Battle of the Service Academies. Army a favorite, as you see there, against Navy. The Early Line returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern on Sports.